Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by Masterclass. Learn from the best to be your best. Amateur Traveler, episode 884. Today, Amateur Traveler talks about hiking and heather, pubs and puffins, crystal and the Copper Coast, as we go to southeastern Ireland. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about a road trip in southeastern Ireland. I'd like to welcome to the show Amber Haggerty from AmberEverywhere.com, who's come to talk to us about Eastern Ireland. Amber, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Chris. I'm so excited to be here.
Good. Me too. And we talk about Eastern Ireland. What is your connection with Ireland?
So I moved to Ireland during the pandemic. I lived in Wicklow for about a year, and then I moved to Cork City, and then I was there for about 2 years. So I spent, about 3 years living in Ireland, and I had visited before. My partner's father is Irish, and it was just something that we kind of decided to do during the pandemic and were lucky enough to be able to do. And I had a wonderful experience there. So my time in Eastern Ireland, that kind of area between Dublin and Cork is one of my favorites. So I'm really excited to get to tell people about it and kind of share some of my favorite spots.
Excellent. And why should someone go to Eastern Ireland?
So Eastern Ireland, when I think about it, I picture this off the beaten track. I hear a lot of people who want to experience Ireland away from the tourist crowds. And not that I won't mention places where tourists go, but that region, when I'm talking for this episode about Eastern Ireland, I'm picturing Dublin to Cork, just around the coast on the eastern part of the island. Mm-hmm. It's a really adventurous, really local feeling place. And there's just a ton of exploring that you can do. You can get into the Wicklow Mountains. There's coastline. I'll talk about the Salty Islands, which are these incredible islands off the coast of County Wexford, where you can see puffins and all these seabirds. And so it has just this kind of magical quality to it. And it's a part of Ireland that I don't think many people think of when they think of Ireland. And so you get this kind of richness that I just love. And on top of that, you have all of these incredible hikes that you can do. I know there also are wonderful hikes in the West, especially in Kerry, but the Eastern hikes in Wicklow are so beautiful. And they're one of my favorite things in Ireland they do is these wooden plank hikes. And so my favorite hike has those wooden planks. So it's super easy to follow. You don't have to worry about the fog.
Well, you're getting a little ahead of us.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself.
We'll get there.
So I think it's just a region of Ireland that really can offer a sense of wildness and adventure that is harder to feel just when you're seeing a lot of tourist buses.
Cool. Okay. Well, where are we going to start?
So I think we should start in Dublin. It's the easiest airport to fly into for most people and usually the cheapest. And I won't dwell on Dublin, but I do have a couple of spots that I think you should check out while you're
there. Not that you don't think we should go to Dublin, but just that we've covered Dublin before on the show.
You've covered Dublin before. And as someone who has lived in Cork, my duty to tell you that it is not the best city in Ireland. I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
All right.
There's a little bit of a rivalry there. Dublin has some wonderful spots. And the place I would absolutely send you to if you drink alcohol is Bar 1661, and they have the best Irish coffee in the country. It's this really cool little bar, a little bit outside of Temple Bar, which is a region in Dublin.
Sure. A fairly touristy region, we'd have to say.
It is. So you walk about 10 minutes from there. But this bar is really cool. It has a New York Irish fusion vibe to it. And it, you know, you'll see a mix of tourists and locals there, but it just has the best Irish coffee. And they make it with, and I'm sorry if my pronunciation is wrong, but with poutine, which is like a traditional Irish spirit instead of whiskey. So you can try that. And it's just, it's like a lovely spot. It's one of my favorite places in Dublin. And then I also would have to send you to Trinity College, which is just a beautiful campus. I know there's lots of other things to do in Dublin, but those are two just spots I think you can't miss.
Now, when I'm going to Trinity College, I'm usually recommending people do the library and the Book of Kells and all that. I don't know what you're recommending that people do at Trinity College.
Ooh, so I've actually never done the Book of Kells, but I definitely would. I just have always been on a flash through. But yeah, I would say just walking the campus is really beautiful. And then if you can see the Book of Kells, I know they're doing, we're recording this in 2023 and they're doing some renovations.
We're actually recording this in 2024.
We are. It is 20.
But it's the third day. You know, for those of us who are still writing 1998 on our checks, we will forgive you for saying it's 2023.
It is 2024. So they're doing some renovations now or soon, just depending on when you're planning your trip. Just double check and make sure they're open if it's sometime close to when we're recording. But you should be able to still walk around the campus. I think they're just doing renovations on the area where the books are.
Okay. Anything else we want to do in Dublin before we hit the road?
I would send you to my favorite ice cream spot, which is Murphy's on Wicklow Street in Temple Bar. This is my favorite Irish creamery, and they have really delicious flavor. They have an Irish gin flavor. They also have brown bread, which is a traditional Irish bread, and they fry up
a wonderfully delicious traditional Irish bread.
And if you're like, I don't know if I want to try the bread, try the ice cream of the bread. So
Well, you definitely ought to try the bread anyway, but as often as possible. Okay. I thought this was the one. This is the one that started in Dingle. So I love their sea salt and caramel ice cream as well.
I am a butterscotch girly, but they have a lot of great flavors.
Fair enough.
But yeah, and they're so nice. They're worth a stop, and it's a little bit expensive, but I think it's really worth it. And I'm pretty sure they use all Irish ingredients or heavily Irish ingredients. So it's a really local charm. And they started in Dingle, which is also a wonderful place to go, but outside of the scope of our episode.
We've got another episode to talk about Dingle. Love the place, but that's not what we're doing today. Exactly. Excellent. Anything else in Dublin?
There's lots, but I think I'm going to cut it off there.
Okay. And then are we going to rent a car or get around by public transportation on your itinerary?
Thank you so much for asking. This is a car itinerary. This is a road trip. Okay. So this part of Ireland, I would venture to say, would be almost impossible without a car. So you'll definitely need to rent one. So as somebody who's rented a lot of cars in Ireland, and I know you know this, but if you're planning to use your credit card's insurance.
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, Ireland, you can ask your credit card if they cover Ireland, and then they can provide a letter, and you have to ask for it ahead of time, but you can present that letter to the car rental company to use your credit card's insurance. It's a hassle.
I didn't even know that was an option. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's a hassle because you have to get it on letterhead. It has to specifically say Ireland, but you can do it. But if you don't, you're going to have to pay for the collision damage waiver, and it's going to add a lot of money to your rental. But anyway, you're going to need to drive on the left.
Yep.
And you might want to do your pit stop in Dublin if you're worried about driving, so that you're not tired when you do it.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So don't necessarily get off the plane and get into the rental car.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
It's a rough go of it because those transatlantic flights are usually red eyes.
I've done it before, but I don't recommend it for everyone. You should only do it if you really know you can sleep on a flight.
Yep. And otherwise, there's lots of great places to stay in Dublin. Just do a night. But yeah, so definitely rent a car. And I would recommend personally against renting a really large car. Because you'll be on a lot of this itinerary is going to take you on small roads, and it's just going to be twice as stressful if you have this massive car.
I find that for Europe in general, is an upgrade is really a downgrade. The bigger the car, the harder it will be to get around and park and everything else.
Yeah, I have never respected a group of drivers more than the people navigating those Irish roads where they'll wait for each other, and it's a very collaborative process driving in Ireland.
Okay.
Rent a car, and then you'll head south of Dublin. Mm-hmm. The first place I want to take you is to Bray. So Bray is this coastal city. So it'll feel like a suburb of Dublin because it's just south of the city and it's connected by a train. It is in County Wicklow. And so Bray, along with Greystones, are these two coastal cities, towns that run along the Irish Sea. And they are connected both by a train line and a cliff walk. So you can hang out in Bray. Bray has a really cute main town, and it also has this historic McDonald's, if that's your thing, if you want to check out a historic McDonald's. Okay. It's in the city. It's in like an old, I think it's a town council building or something. But anyway, there's a historic McDonald's. But then that's a quick stop. Most of Bray is along the seaside. So they have this big promenade and you can walk along and you'll see people swimming throughout the year, really. And then they have all of these restaurants that overlook the sea. So it's just this really fun, young, energetic town. Check that
out.
Did
you have a favorite of the restaurants there along the promenade?
Absolutely. My favorite is Data, which is an Indian and Pakistani restaurant. And they have this amazing saag paneer, and it's a very cool vibe inside. And you can also get it to go if you want to take it back to your hotel or something. But they're honestly one of my favorite restaurants in Ireland. It's just a fabulous little spot right on the coast in Bray.
Okay.
And then one thing you could do is do the cliff walk to Greystones. And Greystones is a smaller town, and it's also on the seaside, but doesn't face the seaside. It's kind of tucked back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But in Greystones, there's this really famous local little restaurant. It's called the Happy Pear, which is a vegan spot. And they have a little farmer's market, and they have a restaurant, and they have made all of these cookbooks. They're really famous throughout Ireland, and you can find Happy Pear pestos and pre-made foods and things in grocery stores throughout the country. They have a nationwide reach, but it's just a really cute little spot in the main town. The two men who run it are brothers, and they're known to go swimming in the beach, and you might see them around. And there's a little cameo of them in the Netflix show, Somebody Feeds Phil, and he has an episode, he kind of features them. So if you want to do a little more prep, you can watch that episode.
Okay. The Happy Pear is run by Happy Pear.
By Happy Pear, exactly. Of brothers. And then also on this first day, you can head to Enniskerry, which is a really cute little town. In 2021, it was the filming location for Disney's Enchanted movie. So they had it all done up in this really cool old storefronts and things. So it's just the kind of idyllic little town that you could use for a Disney movie. So it's really cute to kind of swing through. It's really small. It only takes a few minutes, but I would definitely stop there. And then nearby is Powers Court. And Powers Court, did you go to Powers Court when you were in Ireland?
No, I haven't really done this corner of Ireland.
We're still only about an hour outside of Dublin, just for everybody's mental map. But Powers Court is this really cool estate and garden. It's massive for an Irish garden. And you can walk around. The gardens are themed from different countries of the world. So they have this enormous Italian garden, and they have this cool little kind of creepy pet cemetery, and they have an English garden, so you can walk around. Super kid friendly. For any Taylor Swift fans, there's a song, Sweet Nothing, where she talks about picking up a pebble in Wicklow, and I always imagine that she picked it up in Powers Court, which is this beautiful garden. They also have a little restaurant in there. You can sit and overlook the gardens and have a glass of wine or have lunch or something. It's just a really pretty, really cool spot. And then the last thing just in that area is the Kilrettery House, which is a really local little spot. On Saturday mornings, they have a farmer's market in there usually. And they also have, for kids, they have a little challenge course. So if you're traveling with little ones, it's probably for kids around 10. And in the Kilrettery House, they have a garden that you can walk around. They have a really cute restaurant that has fresh green juices and salads and really tasty sandwiches. And it's just this estate that has this beautiful garden that you can walk around. So that's your first day in Wicklow. So for your second day, I wanted to have you go around Glendalough, which is one of my favorite spots in all of Ireland. So Glendalough is a lake, a glacial lake in the Wicklow Mountains. I always think of it as a kind of mystical or a little bit fantastical, this lake, because it has all of this lore surrounding it. Okay. But it's a beautiful lake where there's St. Kevin, who founded the monastery, which is nearby, which you should also definitely visit, is said to have lived in a cave up above the lake and have pushed women to their death when they came up to try to talk to him. So there's this kind of eeriness to it that I think is, anyway, if you go, you'll know what I mean. But it's just very cool and has a little bit of intrigue that I don't think you necessarily see in other places in Ireland. And so in Glendalough, and you can just go and visit the lake and walk around. There will be tour buses, but because you'll have a car, you can stay longer and do the hike around the lake on the Spink Trail. And that hike takes about 4 hours. And it has these just unbelievable views out over the lake and up the Wicklow Mountains. And you can be up above them. If the heather is in bloom, you can see heather off on the wooded side. So it's just this really beautiful spot in Wicklow. And it is a kind of strenuous hike. So definitely.
I was going to say, we're going to have to be climbing the mountains here to have the view. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Yep. It's a strenuous up. I like to do the hike clockwise because I like to do all of the hardest up first, but that's a personal choice. But yeah, it's just this incredible view. So you'll definitely need some snacks and some water. It's a big one, but totally worth the effort. And then after that, if you're tired or you just want lunch, there's a really cute pub that's just about 10 minutes down the road called the Wicklow Heather. You can also stay there if you wanted to. It's a pub and an inn, but they have pretty good food. They have some different options for people with dietary restrictions. It's just a cute space in the old style with the dark wood and things. If you have some more time and you want to see another garden, there's a really interesting one called Victor's Way. And this was definitely off the tourist track. And it is started by this man, Victor. And he commissioned these giant granite statues. And they all have a sort of social commentary. And my favorite one is this snake throne that overlooks the mountains that you can sit in. It's like the perfect Instagram spot. But that's this cool garden. And that's maybe 10 minutes from the Wicklow Heather. So if you have some extra time and you want to check out another garden, you could do that. There's also this really interesting little, or not that little, but there's a really cool kind of shop. Kind of think of it as Ireland's Whole Foods, which maybe hopefully that doesn't bother anybody that said that, but it's called Avoca. And they have Avocas throughout the country, but my favorite one is in Kilmacanig. And again, I'm really sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, but they have a couple of restaurants. They have the Fern House Cafe, which has just this beautiful fern-covered dining room. It's not super pricey. It's just really beautiful place to sit and have lunch. So you could, it's backtracking a little bit, but you could go back up there. Or if you want to do some more hiking, another really local spot is Trooper's Town, which is this kind of gentler mountain. So this would be way more appropriate if you wanted just a gentle walk. The only thing is that the trails in Trooper's Town are not marked. So if you decide to do that, just make sure you pin on your phone where you parked your car. And I would park definitely in an actual parking lot. And that way, if you ran into somebody, if you got lost, you could ask them and they could help you get back. Because they're just, the trail look like sheep trails, and the sheep trail kind of looks like the actual walking trail. So it can just, you can get a little turned around, but that is full of heather. So if you go and the heather is in bloom, I would say,
is the heather in bloom usually spring?
The heather blooms in Ireland in June to September. They're just this beautiful light purple and green blanket. So it's just stunning. So if you go when the heather is blooming, and you'll see it on the hillsides. It just has light purple hue. Anyway, Trooper's Town is just covered in heather. So that's a perfect place. And you can eat down in it. And it's just a very fun place to visit. Throughout any time of the year, really, that's a great year-round spot, but especially when it's blooming. And then the last little spot I wanted to tell you about is the Clara Vale Woods. So this is just a super local little walking spot, but if you want to see where people just go for a walk in the woods, Clara Vale Woods, it's a really flat, easy trail just following the Avonmore River, and it's really beautiful. And that's just something you won't see another tourist there. That's just a really local spot. So if anyone wants to just kind of see where people go on their Saturday afternoons with the family, that's the place where they like to go in Wicklow. And then one idea I wanted to share. So on my most recent trip to Wicklow, because I had moved to Cork, I glamped, and it was my first time doing glamping in Ireland, and I loved it. So I just wanted to say that there are some great glamp sites in Glendalough, and the one that I stayed at had little caboose-looking places where you stayed, and then you could walk to the bathrooms, and they had a game room, and they had all of these other little amenities, and it was just a really fun way to stay there. But you could also stay in a B&B or a hotel, so there's lots of options, but I just had a great time glamping, and I think it could be a really fun thing to do if you wanted to camp, but didn't bring a tent or a sleeping bag or anything.
And what was the name of the place you stayed at? The Clisman Horse Caravans, perhaps?
No, the Green and Maze has glamp sites, and you can book them. I book them on Airbnb, but you can also book directly through their website, and they have an actual maze and a labyrinth that you can walk. So it's just a really cool spot.
And a labyrinth where you can't get lost, and a maze where they hope you will.
Yes, exactly. And the maze is very kid oriented. So there's like big posters of different bugs and things. They had a nature walk and things. The maze is definitely a kid thing, but still we just went as a group of adults and loved it and thought it was really fun. I would say it's for anybody.
Okay.
Perfect. And so that is the Wicklow portion of the itineraries. Now we're getting into some road tripping south. And there are some spots. Basically, you're road tripping down to Wexford. And there are so some stops that you can make would be in Wicklow Town. So Wicklow Town is south. It's pretty far south in Wicklow. And they have a jail there that you can visit. And it's actually from, it was started construction in 1702. So it goes back really far. And it has all of these ties to Irish history. And you can walk around. And if you've ever been to the other jails in Ireland, they have the statues of people. And so it's really very realistic, I think. And it's very interesting to see. And it was definitely memorable. And they have a little cafe and you can sit outside and have breakfast if you want. So the jail is there. And then they have a little seaside harbor. And in the harbor that you can visit, they have a fish shop. And it's just a very small, it would only take a few minutes to walk around. But you can see where people in Wicklow visit and where they buy their fish. And the fish place has a restaurant. You can eat there. And then there's a little lookout point just maybe a few minutes walk from the harbor that has the ruins of an old castle, and you can climb up there and look around. So it's a quick stop on your road trip, but definitely if you wanted to visit an Irish jail, I hope I'm not mispronouncing this, but Kilmarnock, the big famous jail in Dublin.
Yep.
If you missed that and you wanted to do a jail, you could do the Wicklow jail. And then you can head a little bit further south. One of my favorite little spots to eat is in this town, Arklow. It's called Loco Grocer, and they have just great brunch. They're the kind of place that doesn't have the most predictable hours. So definitely look about when your ETA would be, because they're closed certain days of the week and things. But if they're open, they're a great place to grab food. And they have a lot of gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan options. They're just a great spot to stop on your way down.
And I'm going to guess that, Amber, that you are gluten-free or vegetarian or something?
I'm vegetarian.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And I have often traveled in Ireland with people who are gluten-free. So it's very tough.
Got it.
That would be a great stop in Arklow. There's also a beach in the south of County Wicklow called Britta's Bay, which is this fabulous little local beach. And if you park in Britta's Bay and then the tide is out a little bit, you can go around. You'll know what I mean when you get there, but there's this place where the rock juts out into the ocean. And if the tide's low enough, you can walk around it. And there's a secret second beach there, which is the most beautiful part of the whole area. And so you can sit there, and if it's a really warm day, you can swim in the ocean, or otherwise you can just look at it. But if you visit in October, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that stop. It might be too chilly. But yeah, in the middle of the summer, it's just a really beautiful spot.
When would you recommend coming? We've talked about when the heather's in bloom, for instance, but is there any particular time of year you think would be the optimal for this itinerary?
So I would definitely recommend this itinerary April to July. And the reason is a lot related to one of the later parts of the itinerary in the Salty Islands, because that is puffin season.
Okay.
So I would try to plan it around that if you can. And April to July, you'll have longer days and warmer weather, so it's just a little bit nicer. But my absolute favorite, if you have full freedom to plan your trip to Ireland, I would try to plan this trip in late May. And there's a week in Ireland called Leaving Certs Week. And it's this really stressful week for Irish teenagers because they're finishing up their final high school exams. And famously, the week before they take the exams, so the study week for that, is beautiful weather in Ireland to lightly torture them. So if you can figure out when Leaving Cert is, you might get to experience Leaving Cert weather, which is just the most beautiful weather of the year. And it's when all of the seniors in high school are studying. But late May is right before the tourist season really picks up, so you might get some deals on your car and your hotel. Irish weather is never predictable. May seems to, in my experience, be a decent month for weather. Anything could happen, but your chances might be a little bit better in May. And like I said, the prices might be a little bit lower.
Okay.
The other stops you can make on your way down, you can drive through, you would have to make a little bit of a detour, but you could drive through the Wicklow Gap, which is just a really beautiful road that goes right past Glendalough and through the Wicklow Mountains. It would be a detour, so you'd have to cut back to the coast, but it's really beautiful. And One other stop that you can make on your way down is in Wexford City. And you could also stay in Wexford City for this itinerary if you found a spot. But in Wexford City is the National Opera House. So if you wanted to see Irish performance, live performance, you might be able to catch something there. Personally, I wouldn't spend a ton of time there, but you could make that stop. You could also, if you found a nice place to stay there, you could stay there. Or other ways, you'll want to make your way down to Kilmore Quay. And that's where you'd want to be the night before because of the next day in the itinerary.
And so, if you like opera, I would say you might also consider the Wexford Opera Festival.
Ooh, I didn't know about that.
I'm not a big opera fan, but just FYI.
Ooh, yeah, definitely. And so the fourth day of this itinerary is one of the things I'm the most excited about, which is visiting the Salty Islands. So for many, many years, I had dreamed about seeing puffins. I had been to Iceland twice, actually, and didn't get to see them because of where we ended up going. And I knew that they were in Ireland. I had tried to see them at the Cliffs of Moher. So it's a little bit of a personal saga to try to see the puffins. So we went in April and got to see them earlier last year. So the Salty Islands are these really cool islands off the East Coast, and they're totally worth seeing if you have any interest in birds at all. So these islands are privately owned by this man who, when he was a child, his name was Michael, and he decided when he was young that he wanted to be the prince of the Salty Islands. And so he okay. That was his dream, and then he did it. So you can go. There's a salty ferry that runs, I think, twice a day during the high season. And they don't run year-round. So that's why I was saying you want to definitely plan this itinerary.
Got it.
To see when they're open. But they'll run those ferries, I think, twice a day. And you can take it out. It's only about a 20-minute ferry ride. But the ferry, they're pretty strict about the rules. Don't be late and book ahead of time and all of those things. But you can take this ferry out. And it's a wet landing. So it's not appropriate for people who have mobility issues. I was really confused by what wet landing meant before we went.
It's right there in the name.
Yep. Just think ankle deep water. It wasn't scary, but it was a little bit adventurous. And so you get off and it's this mostly uninhabited island and you can walk all around it. And they have, I think, over 200 species of seabirds, including puffins. And there's just these incredible cliffs with these puffins are really goofy looking birds up close. They're really cool. And if you sit really still, they might waddle up towards you. And you'll see people with really serious photography equipment, like multi-foot long lenses. It's just a really cool experience to get to see all those birds. And they also have gannets and razorbills and just it's the most fascinating seabird life that I've ever seen. The ferry is not very expensive, and you won't see a lot of other tourists there. It's pretty limited because the only way to get to the island is these ferries, and they only run two a day. So
now,
it's just
really
cool.
The last time I was on a ferry, it had multiple different dining rooms and a place where, a store and multi-levels and cars. We're not talking about that, are we?
Nope. This is a little tiny boat, and I think it holds maybe 10 people, 12 people.
So do I need to book in advance if I'm going to do this ferry?
Definitely. I would definitely book in advance, and they're not very flexible, so you won't be able to change it. So once you know that that's when you can go book it, but it's a plan around it kind of part
okay.
of
Okay. Well, that's why I asked when I saw a picture of the boat. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's
I had a very wrong mental model here.
And also, there are, if anyone gets seasick, one of my favorite things, I have little, they're called PSI bands, and they're just little bracelets you can put on, and I swear they help. They don't work for everybody, but I get really seasick, and they totally help me, so I never get on ferries without them, especially because the Irish seas can be kind of rough. Though, it's really, the ferry ride's not that long, so you'll probably be okay, but it can be pretty choppy, because it's not a big boat.
Yeah, and they just put pressure on, pressure points on your wrist. That's what the bands do, yeah.
Exactly.
I have not used them. I don't tend to be one who gets seasick, but I've had friends who swear by them as well.
Oh, they are never not in my backpack. The best $10 I've ever spent. So the ferry goes out and you can see the islands and it's a set amount of time. So I think you get maybe 3.5 hours on the islands. Bring your rain gear because there's no shelter. It's just you out there. So bring snacks, water, whatever. And then the ferry will take you back. And it's really a really cool experience. And to me, it felt just like one of the most special things I've done in Ireland and maybe in Europe. It was just a really cool experience to get to be one of a small handful of people wandering around this island that is, it's actually a bird sanctuary. the government has several initiatives to keep the birds healthy, and it's a really cool thing that Ireland has. So I definitely recommend going if you can. And then when you get back to Kilmore Quay, one of my other favorite things to do in Ireland that is definitely not touristy is to do a sauna. So in Ireland, these saunas are popping up. And so they have mobile saunas that they put up by the ocean, and you can sit in the sauna and then run out into the ocean. It's the Atlantic or the Irish Sea. It's cold. So you can sit, get really warm, and then run out into the ocean and go back in. And people in Ireland love to swim in the sea. So it's a really local thing. You'll probably get to talk to locals while you're doing it and be saunaing together. So it's just a great way to get to know them. And if you have any passing interest in saunas, it's one of my favorite things to do. I never don't take my visitors to the sauna if they're up for it. So there's a sauna in Kilmore Quay called the Salty Sauna. They have others throughout Ireland, but that just would make the most sense in this itinerary in terms of a place.
This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by Masterclass. I've talked to a lot of amazing people on this podcast, and yes, I'm including Amber in that list. But if you're like me, you want to go deeper. So where can you learn from the most remarkable people? That's Masterclass. And this is one of the things I've enjoyed about the different classes that I've done with Masterclass, whether it be The Art of Negotiation by Chris Voss, who's an FBI negotiator, or watching the class by Steve Martin on comedy. There's something very unique about this offering. It's almost February as this comes out, and you may think that it's too late to make resolutions, but it's not too late to change. Don't just talk about improving. Be the person you want to be and learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Masterclass offers 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to learn cooking and are doing so with Gordon Ramsay, or you want to learn about writing and you're doing so with James Patterson, Masterclass has a class for you. You get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. There are over 200 classes to choose from, with new classes added every month. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/traveler. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/traveler. Again, that's masterclass.com/traveler. And thanks to Masterclass for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
And then you can spend the evening in Waterford City. So the most famous thing to do in Waterford is to see the House of Waterford Crystal. And it is so ornate. Did you do that when you were on your trip?
Haven't been to this corner of Ireland.
Okay. Yeah. They have just unbelievable things made out of crystal. These enormous statues are just very ornate things made out of crystal, like test sets. And I think they had a Super Bowl trophy, just all of this really ornate stuff. And then lots of touristy things, or souvenir style things that you can buy. So you can buy a shamrock or a dolphin or whatever made out of Waterford crystal. And then of course they sell glasses and things. It's a cool thing to do. And then they also have tours. I've never done it, but you could do a tour to see how they make the crystal, which I'm sure would have been very cool, but we were mostly just admiring the crystals when I went. But that would be one thing to do. And then Waterford City has some restaurants. You could stay in Waterford City. The whole area, you know, there's lots of B&Bs in the outside if you wanted to do something more in the countryside, but that's kind of Waterford City.
Any particular recommendations? You mentioned restaurants and B&Bs.
In Waterford City, my only restaurant recommendation in Waterford City, they have actually a location in Tremor too. So you could go to either, but my favorite bakery in Ireland is the Seagull Bakery, and they make sourdough breads, and they have these just delicious sandwiches and breakfast pastries. So they just have two locations. So you could go either in Waterford City or in Tremor.
Okay.
So for day five, I love this little seaside town called Tremor, and it's really small, but it has a really cool hilly town. So you can walk around, and the town kind of curves around, and then down on the seafront, there's this boardwalk that would be really fun if you had kids with you. And then there's also just this big open beach. And when the tide comes in, it covers the beach up entirely. So if you go and it's all water, it's because the tide's in. But when the tide's out, there's this just big, giant, open, sandy beach. And so you can swim, you can play in the sand, you can walk around those tide pools. It's just very, very beautiful. But then in Tremor, so there's this 19th century Irish travel writer named Lefkadi O'Hearn, and he's actually related distantly to my partner, but he was an Irish travel writer, and he traveled all through the Caribbean and the US and wrote about traveling. And then he ended up moving to Japan and married a Japanese woman who was part of a samurai family and was one of the first Japanologists.
As one does, sure.
Yeah, as one does. And he was the first Japanologist after Japan started to open itself up to the West. And so he was one of the premier voices for translating Japanese culture to the West. And he spent his summers as a child in Tremor. And so there's a garden dedicated to him, the Lafcadio Hearn Japanese Garden. So there's just beautiful Japanese gardens in Tremor that you can walk around. And the coolest part of the story, you can edit this out if it's too long, but the coolest part of the story is that great-granddaughter of Lafcadio Hearn has been retracing his steps. So she's been going to all the places that he traveled when he was younger. And part of that, she went to Tremor to visit these gardens where her great-grandfather had lived and ended up falling in love with someone who was working at the gardens. And so now she lives in Tremor. So there's just this cool connection to this garden. But anyhow, there's the beautiful gardens and then the really cool bakery, Siegel Bakery. And there's a pizza shop right along at the coast by the boardwalk. So it's just a really fun, small town. And locals in Ireland probably know about it, but it's not a touristy spot. So it's just a really cool place to walk around and experience the coastal Irish life, especially with a little bit of a small town flair.
Cool.
The other thing that you can do if you go to Tremor and you don't want to walk the gardens or if it's cold or it's a little too chilly to be at the beach is to do the Waterford Greenway. So there are two greenways that I love in Ireland, the other one's in Limerick. But in Waterford, they had this old train line and they took the train line and they paved it to make this really long greenway so you can walk or cycle it, which is, again, if you wanted to do something active that's really has some really beautiful views. They have some aqueducts that go over parts of the landscape so you can get views from above. It's got the otherwise this greenery, very okay. Irish feeling. It's very overgrown, beautiful green tunnels that you can get. You could walk or you can rent bikes at different points along the greenway, and then you can cycle part of it, cycle back to your car. So that would be a really cool way to get in a little bit of cycling and kind of see something that even not a lot of people in Ireland do. So that is a really cool stop.
When you say walk it, it's 46 kilometers. So I see why you're recommending bikes if you wanted to do a good portion of it.
Yep. Yeah. And it's pretty flat. So it's really nice for cycling. I've done it from a few different places. I don't think it super matters. I don't think it really matters where you start and end. I would just do whatever's convenient for wherever you are and your next stop. So I wouldn't say any one section is must do. I would just stop along it. So those are the two things you could do. You could also, if you wanted to, on your fifth day or on your sixth day, depending on what your interest level is and how active you want to be, there's a really beautiful hike in County Waterford called, I really hope I don't mispronounce this, but Cwm Sinan. It's this beautiful lake that's set up a hill. So you hike up a hill and there's this lake with these big rolling hills. And then it's surrounded by this giant rock wall of cliffs. You can walk up to the lake. That I would say anybody could do that. Anyone who does mild hiking probably easily manage that. There's also a hike that goes up and around the lake. And I want to say here that as somebody from Colorado, those are my credentials, hiking in Ireland can be really dangerous because of the fog. And so if the fog is in, do not do this hike. If it's not a really clear day, it's not worth it because it just does have some drops and it's really not safe in the fog. If it's really clear and you're a really experienced hiker, you can hike around it. And one time I was trying to do it and had to turn around because it did get foggy, but I got to see this really cool phenomenon called a Brocken specter. Do you know what that is?
No.
So it's this cool thing that can happen when you're above a cloud and the sun is behind you. It can create a rainbow around you. And it looks like your shadow is in the cloud and it has a rainbow halo. It's really cool. It's apparently they're pretty rare. So I have some photos of it. But it was just this cool natural fog phenomenon that I got to see when I was there. But yeah, that hike is really beautiful, but just clear days only is my advice. But the lake, you shouldn't have any trouble. You could get to the lake even if it's a little bit foggy, but just don't attempt that hike up around. And I think on all trails it says it's moderate. Hiking in Ireland can just take some judgment, and I wouldn't do it if it's not crystal clear.
Okay. And are there crystal clear days in Ireland? I mean, there's a reason it's very green.
Yeah. There are. They're not super predictable. So I have tried to do that hike several times and had to turn around just because it was too foggy. It depends a lot on where you are, but that area, I'm sure there's a really good reason. I don't know what it is, but it does tend to attract the clouds because it's up a little bit higher than the farmland around it. So it's just worth being cautious. But yeah, you can get multiple days in a row, actually, of beautiful clear weather. It's just most days are a little drizzly.
Got it. There is no bad weather, only inappropriate clothing.
Exactly. And also wear sunscreen anyway, because you can still get sunburns in Ireland.
Okay.
But yeah, so for your sixth day, there's this really cool area that is called the Copper Coast, and it's actually a UNESCO geopark. The other geopark you probably have heard of, which is the Cliffs of Moher on the Burren.
Yeah.
But the Copper Coast is actually also a geopark. And UNESCO geoparks are basically areas that UNESCO decided have geologic and cultural significance. So that's this area. It was a really important mining area. It is so beautiful and it's great for camping. So this whole itinerary, you could camp if you had camping equipment, but you could absolutely camp the whole time. I know not a lot of people travel with a tent and sleeping bags, but the Copper Coast is a place I really love to camp. So that's just an option that you could have in your mind. But there's also B&Bs and hotels throughout the area. But the Copper Coast has one of my other favorite beaches, which is Ben Mahin. And then if you go to Ben Mahin, which is this beautiful sandy beach that you can walk across, and in the dunes, they have a walkway that walks up above it. And it's really popular for camping because there's public facilities for bathrooms and things behind the beach. But then if you go a little bit southwest of the beach, so keep following it southward, there is this incredible little hidden beach called, I'm really sorry if I'm mispronouncing this, but it's Chanambo. It's secluded, and you basically walk up across the cliff, and then there's stairs that go down to it, and it has this rock spire, and it's sandy, and it's just this incredible little secluded beach, and you can sit there. And the last time I was there, I just sat and meditated. The waves are coming in, and it's so beautiful. And there's not very many people there. It's really not a popular spot, but it's not a touristy spot. It's just this incredible little gem in Ireland. And then the rest of the Copper Coast, you can drive along it. It's really pretty. There's also a town at the other end called Dungarvan, and Dungarvan, funny or not, has a really great churro spot. So if you like churros, I don't know how they ended up there.
But I don't associate them with Ireland.
Me either, but they're there and they're great. They have like a really great little caramel dipping sauce. But that Dungarvan would also be a good place to start the Greenway if you wanted to do that going back up. The Greenway ends there. So this day, like I said, you can mix and match, but that would be the Copper Coast drive, and you're basically road tripping down to the Cork area. Essentially from to Cork with all
and
those
the churro spot is Curiosity.
Curiosity. Appropriately whimsical. And then for your last day, I had to bring you into County Cork. And I have some spots that are a little bit outside of the city. I could go on and on about the city of Cork, my former home. But just outside of Cork is Cove, which is a really popular spot. They have the deck of cards houses that are really beautiful, and the church. There's also Spike Island.
Which deck of cards houses. This is the multi different,
the colorful
row houses. Okay.
Exactly. So you could do that. You could also do, there's a cliff walk called the Ballycotton Cliff Walk, which is really beautiful. And it just walks along the coast. And then there's also Blarney Castle, which is a very popular thing to do. And I would say, I'll go out on a limb and say, I don't think it's overrated, but it is scarier. I don't know. Did you do it when you were in Ireland?
No, I, again, haven't been to Cove or haven't been to Blarney.
So Blarney Castle, you go up the castle to kiss the Blarney Stone. And the Blarney Stone, and just to warn anybody listening who's never seen pictures, you're like dangling upside down looking at the grass below.
With people holding you to keep you from falling to your death, yes.
There's a guy who's there and his whole job is just to keep you from falling upside down off the castle. So it's a little more hardcore than it sounds.
What is his success rate? That would be the other thing I would want to know. But
yeah, as far as I know, 100%. But they do have a little drawing of a guy having his foot held from the top of the castle. So I don't know what the whole history is. But I think the guy who's up there is doing a great job. No one in our whole group fell. And the gardens that go around Blarney are really beautiful. I actually have a friend who lives in the Blarney Gardens, in the kind of private residence part. The gardens are totally beautiful and worth walking around, especially during the summer. I grew up with horses, and they have this cool stable that they turned into a cafe, and you can sit in the horse stalls, and it has all these old posters and things, just really cool. So I would say the gardens are definitely worth visiting, and the price ticket to get into Blarney can be a little bit steep, but I would absolutely say it's worth doing once.
Okay.
And then the last thing I would say is just to take you into Cork City, a couple little spots in Cork that I have to sneak in.
It's like she thinks that I'm not going to allow this.
In Cork, there's a fort called the Elizabeth Fort. It's free to enter, and it is one of my places I always take people when they visit. It's on the south side of the city, and you climb up, and there's this stone relic of the old fort, and it has this just incredible views of the River Lee and of Cork City. It's free to visit. There is a whole little museum that you can visit, but I would say you could go just for the view. So climb up there and look around. It's absolutely worth it. And there's also nearby that really cool little pub called Osho. And you can, it's just a really fun modern pub. And then really close by, there's a really great Japanese place called Miyazaki's. So you can get the Miyazaki and take it into Osho, and they have music a lot of times, or they have just a great place to sit. And they also have tea. So if you're not a big drinker, but you wanted to see a pub, they have a whole tea menu. So it's a great place to sit and have a pint or have a cup of tea, and they have herbal teas, lots of choices, not just berries. But yeah, it's just a great little spot.
Okay.
And one other spot, I sent you to Bar 1661 in Dublin, which I think has the best Irish coffee. I think the second best Irish coffee is at the Shelburne Bar, which is in the Victorian Quarter in Cork, so on the other side of the city. And it's this really beautiful old wood, just whatever you're picturing for a pub, this is it. And it has just this incredible selection of whiskey and super, super knowledgeable staff. So you can ask them, if you are a whiskey person at all, you can ask them. Actually, if you're a whiskey person, you should probably go to Middleton and do the Jameson Distillery Tour. But if you're a casual whiskey person, you can go to the Shelburne Bar, and they'll have flights. And the staff there, they're just encyclopedias for Irish whiskey knowledge. It's a really great place to stop, and they are just really snug. It does get really busy on the weekends, but if you go during the week, it's just a great spot to sit and hang out and learn a little bit about Irish whiskey.
You've come to the end of your itinerary here that you had planned. Anything else people need to know before they start booking their tickets for Ireland here?
So one thing that I always tell anybody who's coming to visit me in Ireland is that it is probably going to be chillier than you're expecting. Ireland is a chilly island, and it does have, exactly like you were saying, there's no bad weather, only bad clothing, but definitely layers are your best friend, and make sure that you have waterproof layers, including waterproof shoes, because if all your clothes get wet and you can't get dry, it's just not a fun time. So be prepared for just chillier temperatures, especially because this itinerary takes you along the coast and in the Wicklow Mountains, which are just some of the chilliest parts of Ireland. So be prepared. Even in the summer, I usually bring a down jacket and a raincoat and wool socks. And you might not need it. You might be overprepared, but I would say it really can be chilly, even in June. I have photos of myself and a friend. I'm sitting with beanies and sweaters and blankets outside in June. So it can be really chilly throughout the year. So just be prepared. And if you need to, you can always buy a sweater or something. You know, you're not going to freeze to death. It doesn't get that cold, but it can be uncomfortably chilly, even in the summer months.
Excellent. As we get to our wrap-up questions, you're standing in the prettiest spot in, really, we're doing southeastern Ireland. Where are you and what are you looking at?
I am at the top on the boardwalks of Glendalough, looking down over the lake and looking at the mountains, and there's just the Wicklow Mountains all around me, and I can see them all.
And are they covered with heather?
They have some heather. They have some trees. The heather spot is really in Troopers Town, but there's a little heather around. You'll see some.
Yeah. Got it. One thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Ireland.
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, I want to get a good one. Hang on. Okay. I'm talking about a specific spot. There's a specific spot on the drive from Cork to Wicklow.
Okay.
Where there is a golf course. And for okay. some reason, the road goes right through this golf course. And for some reason, it's covered in sheep. They're just sheep. There's no fences. A lot of times you'll see sheep that jump the fences and yeah. they're like, this is an area where there are no fences. And there just are sheep that just wander up and down this big green area right along this pretty central road. It's not a motorway, but it's the road that Google takes you on. And it's just maybe a mile where you just have to drive really slow because for some reason you go through a sheep farm that also looks like a golf course. Now that I'm saying that it's a golf course, maybe it's not, but it really, it's manicured like a golf course, only in Ireland.
And if you had to summarize this region of Ireland in just three words, what three words would you use?
I would say wild, enchanting, and understated.
Excellent. You came prepared, I can tell. Usually that part of the show is edited more heavily than just long pauses as people think about these. Our guest again has been Amber Haggerty from AmberEverywhere.com. And Amber, if we want to send people to your website, to your best post on Southeastern Ireland, where are we going to send them?
I have a post about visiting the Salty Islands, and they're just one of the most special things I've done in Ireland. So I would say if you're interested in visiting this region, I would definitely check that post out.
Excellent. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes so that people can find it. Amber, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for Ireland.
Thank you. It's been so much fun to just get to share my favorite parts of, I know the West and the other parts of Ireland get a lot of love, and I love mm-hmm. them too, but this is just a really special part of the country, and I'm really excited to get to have shared some of my favorite spots.
Special thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a patron of the show, then go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. Also, a special thanks to all of those who reached out when I had announced on the show that the death of both of my parents here in January. Your thoughts and prayers meant a lot to me. Thanks so much. I heard recently from Ophelia, who said on the episode on Malta, like the simplicity and real people itineraries, I also create my own itineraries, and I love listening to your podcast. Thank you. And you are so welcome. I heard a while back from Jody, who said, thanks so much for your podcast. It's easily my favorite podcast, and I so appreciate the information on such a variety of destinations. I'm preparing for a trip this summer to New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Nova Scotia, and would love to hear more about those areas from one of your experts. I see that you did a PEI episode in 2010. I'll give it a listen, but would love to learn more about New Brunswick, specifically the Bay of Fundy and Nova Scotia, specifically Halifax and the Cabot Trail. Not sure if this area is on your radar for a future episode already, just wanted to mention it in the hopes that maybe it could be. Thanks for considering, Jody. And I mention that because when Jody talks about my experts, those of you who are listening, many of you are my experts, and so I'm always open to people pitching me episodes of the show from listeners, from other bloggers and podcasters, from travel writers and travel journalists. So let me know if you've got a great episode for me, whether it be New Brunswick, PEI, Nova Scotia, or something else. There are certainly places we either haven't covered recently or that we haven't covered at all. There's actually one or two places we've never covered. And you could help me solve that problem. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.